Good morning, coming up on 910 here on the Mighty 690. And it is time for our monthly chat. Well, we get to talk with her more than that, but we do have Amy Dollar joining us here with a tourism update. This is your official time for that, Amy.
So. It is. And good morning, and thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. So you're having a pretty good summer here so far. You know, I've seen some truck campers and that sort of thing down the over by the plaza and by the old bank and everything.
We have. People come in all the time and from all over, and sometimes it's pretty interesting when you get to visit with some of them. There are people that go, I got to visit with a couple of people that have, they go around to see the different like outlaw graves and old west towns and things like that. And I love that. I can't wait to retire and get to travel like that.
Right?
And, will come in a lot of times. They'll have interesting stories, or even better, everybody has a cell phone. I get to see some cool pictures. I got to see a couple pictures of John Wesley Hardin's grave. A man came in and showed me a picture of his gun belt that he had made just like Paladins from Have Gun Will Travel, which is one of my favorite shows. So that was really cool to get to see. People come from, you know, I always mention they come from Canada or Alaska, but people come from, you know, closer than that too. So we have, you know, Texas really likes to come to Coffeyville. So we have a big shout out to that.
Well, and I was thinking too, you know, it'd be fun, and maybe it's happened before, but, you know, get on the circuit for like a bus tour that they could go to a bunch of Old West sites. You know, they could start out, they could go to like Dodge City, they could go down to Oklahoma to see the Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum. You know, they could do Wichita, they could come here. I mean, Abilene, there's a lot of places that they could go.
There are, and I submit that us to places like that pretty regular. But there was one that was Oklahoma Getaways, Gateway Oklahoma. Anyway, they were a group out of Oklahoma that they did that. They started out at the Cowboy Western Heritage Museum. They went up to Pawhuska. They came to Coffeyville. We had a huge bus full of people. It was super awesome. We didn't know they were coming either, so it was extra surprising. It was great. You know, we do get people from, you know, big groups and small groups and families and individuals. And it's just, if you can imagine a different kind of tourist, like think about when you go to different places, how you just, you know, you go somewhere and you're from, you know, people don't know where you're from. So it is very interesting. And I love all the conversations. And I had a couple of little younger teenage girls that were huge history buffs. I love that. That makes my heart sore. I love history being, you know, kind of in interesting to younger people. And they came up here and they were interested in, they picked up information for the junior college as well. So it's very nice to see that our history attracts people to our area and they love it. And then they might want to come back and go to school here.
Hey, you never know where that seed planted will go.
That's what I said. I'm like, keep loving history. Yeah, that is awesome, because I don't get a lot of, teenagers that were the ones that decided that Coffeyville was the place they came to visit, you know? So that was very awesome.
That is neat.
Tourism, like I said, it's going great. Every, you know, we have lots of visitors every day. If you see someone you don't know, say hi, be real nice. Like I said, you never know, they might want to come back here and live.
That's
or go
right.
to school. We have a lot going on. Fair is coming up the 13th through the 19th of August. I know that might sound like it's far away, but it is so not. It's like right around the corner. You can go online to the interstatefairandrodeo.com and get your fair tickets, or you can come in the office and get them. The fair person is usually there Monday through Thursday, right around in there. So you can come in anytime. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. We'll get you a ticket.
Yeah, and get your IC too.
Yes, ICs. Oh my gosh, ICs taste so good when it's hot outside. And people come in from all over and they get ICs, and we have all the locals come in. So come in and get an IC. They're $3. Get cherry or Coke. That's what's available right now. We try to find a cool flavor for summer, but cherry is about as cool as we found.
Cherry's pretty good. It's hard to beat. And
tomorrow's
going to be an icy day. So, because it's going to be hot. So it'll be a good one. So, hey, I know you kind of got a good problem to have with this upcoming murder mystery.
Oh, I'm excited. So our murder mystery dinner event at the Brown Mansion, it's sold out. It's July 28th. There are no longer tickets available, but keep an eye out, because we'll have our third and final event scheduled for the 28th of October, and it's a masked ball, you know, like a costume ball. It'll be held in the ballroom. Tickets will be limited on that too, so be planning on it now, and tickets will be going on sale probably by right around the end of July on that. So I think that will be a lot of fun. I always thought it would be fun to dance in the ballroom.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I would think that will be, so I think that'll be super exciting. And kind of in the spirit of our upcoming murder mystery event, and it's set in 1923. So I thought that was super cool, realizing when it was, you know, when we bought the package, realizing when it was set and stuff. Hey. I thought it would be a lot of fun. And I thought we could kind of talk about some, newspapers.com, I'm telling you. I have the kind of went and read about some different things that were going on in the, you know, the roaring 20s in Coffeyville. You know, we had, you know, everything was going on. Everything was changing. You know, there was the, you know, it's the jazz age and knee length skirts and dry areas, prohibition. Women finally got to vote. But in Coffeyville, it was kind of crazy in Coffeyville. So I tried to find positive stuff too. But in 1923, I thought this was so cool. March, 10 people in Coffeyville purchased a 1923 Studebaker from the Etchant Auto Company. I think it was located on 5th Street. But they put in there who bought a car and what the car was.
In the paper.
In the paper. All of like Southeast Kansas. So we had the people from Chanute who bought a paper, Independence, Bartlesville, Dewey, yeah. Copan, Caney.
So we think about our privacy being quote unquote violated now. But back then, I mean, can you imagine us going through every day and reading off the people who bought a car over the past week in the area?
Yeah, that's one of the first things I said to Nick. I was like, man, if you were a car thief, I mean, just, so-and-so has this. Okay. Hey, he works over here.
And it probably has his address and everything.
It did not. But
they could figure it out.
But how easy is it to find it? It's in every directory and phone book. Yep. It's your address and phone number. And so, I mean, not to be negative on that, but it was, so the positive part was, I thought it was pretty cool, and so I looked up, I didn't even know what all the different Studebakers were, and I think that after you post this, and I go to share it on Facebook, I want to create a post that shares, like, I was going to show pictures of the different ones, and I think I might be able to share that article, so you can see if your relative bought him a touring 6th Studebaker in 1923
I've been to the Studebaker Museum. It's a neat place.
Oh, that is very cool. Yeah. Where's that at?
I'm trying to remember now. I knew I should have looked at it. Yeah, I can't. I have to. Man, I don't remember what trip that was. It all runs together. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, no, that's really cool.
So I'm not feeling as dark as I was yesterday when I was reading all these things. It is kind of scary.
It's in Indiana. That's right.
Oh, yeah, nice.
South Bend.
It's kind of scary thinking of all the different like things that happen in Coffeyville. Like right now, we don't have a lot of, thank goodness, but we don't have a lot of like crime and you know, but in 1923, it was illegal to sell alcohol. And I notice when I read papers that there's a lot of habitual offenders of the bone dry law, they called it. And so there would be the same, you'd read the same name over and over again for different arrests. They'd get fined and a little bit of time in jail. But this guy named Edward Warren, they called him River George, he was arrested several times. He was actually supposed to go to court. And I forgot, I was going to look up what chalk beer was, and I cannot multitask and look it up. They went to his house and they found all this beer. See, you can multitask and look it up. Oh, yeah. I can't talk and Google at the same time. And they found that beer, and he wasn't home. So, like, they were driving to Independence, the police chief and some, so what is it?
Oh, it's Choctaw. It's an abbreviation for Choctaw Indian beer, not chocolate flavored.
Very interesting. That's wild. I didn't know what it was. Like, yeah. I didn't think it'd be chocolate flavored, but...
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That does
here.
Make
yeah.
sense. I'm going to have to learn more about that.
That's really interesting.
I had no idea. That is very interesting. I'm glad you looked that up. So he was on his way. I guess he was hiding out or driving around somewhere. The police were on their way to Independence for whatever reason, and they saw him and they started chasing him. And the end result is he was running from them. He got shot in the back of the head, and I don't think he violated the bone dry law anymore. So it was kind of a sad, kind of a dark story for kind of a nonviolent crime. And I don't know what all led up to that, but they were chasing him, and anyway, he got shot in the back of the head.
It seemed like prohibition just made everything crazier in America.
It did. And I think it made, like that's something that, like, I didn't need it, you know, it's not really life. But how many people died, you know, I read over and over again, you know, gambling houses in Coffeyville and different things like that, where people, like, they were drinking, they got in an argument, they shot each other. But then there were things that had nothing to do with alcohol, like a guy killing his brother-in-law over a scarf they were fighting over. People were always crazy. I think that still is probably happening right now somewhere.
I think so.
But But to picture Coffeeville with this underworld, like, it, you know, it's just kind of like, we don't really, you know, you don't have that now. I mean, which is awesome. But to picture this whole, like, you know, we had to have, you know, increase in police force and increase in all this stuff because they had all this extra crime or extra nightlife that caused crime. I also thought it was pretty cool that 1923 Coffeeville's host had a lot of doctors, but they had a man named Dr. Pardue, and he was a homeopathic physician. I don't know how common that was in 1923, but it really caught my eye in the reading the classifieds, the line listings in there.
Well, sure. And of course, in nearby region, more like down into Oklahoma, like Vinita and that sort of thing, we did in Osawatomie. But like you had some of the sanatoriums and that sort of thing for, obviously at that time, TB and tuberculosis and everything. But yeah, it's kind of interesting too, the medical history of the area is interesting.
I thought it was kind of neat. And then I thought it was... I thought I would look up this when I looked up Al Connors. I thought he'd be like maybe this infamous outlaw that came up a lot in the searches, and he really didn't. He was him and this other man, Max Weeb, they decided to come to Coffeeville from Oklahoma for whatever reason to rob a grocer's, to rob a man named Robert Spriggs. Well, he had a grocery store to rob him, and he owned it. I don't think they came specifically for him. But when he went out, they told him to get the money out of the cash register. And when he did, he pulled out a gun instead and shot both of them. So one of them died like the next day, and the other one took like a week to die, the Al Connors. But yeah, neither one of them were... notorious outlaws or anything. They just once again proves that crime doesn't pay.
Yep.
Probably robbing the grocery store was a bad idea. And I have the article was pretty cool, so I will post that.
Yeah,
that way people can read it. It's just newspaper reporters had a flair when they wrote, and some of it might be dramatized and some of it might not. Yeah, you never know.
Some but still do.
I love to read these Coffeeville reporters and the way they wrote things. They were very interesting. I don't know if anyone is like knows if they're related to anyone that used to work for the newspapers, but they are super cool. I would encourage people as much as you have time for to read old newspapers. And then the notorious bandit, his name was Red Cloud Scruggs. He was killed in Coffeeville. He had a big shootout on June 2nd, 1923, right after midnight, with the cops on the border, on the Oklahoma-Kansas line. And he got killed, but his friends got away. And they had that all over. It was in every Kansas newspaper.
Well, I bet. Big news.
And some other ones. It was big news. I guess he had done a lot of things in the Oklahoma Indian Territory and maybe over by, like right over by Tyro. I think he did some robbing over there. So that was, I think he was involved in a bank robbery in Tyro like 10 years before that. So it was kind of interesting to read. They're out there stopping bad guys, and you know, Coffeeville just had a lot of stuff going on. And I was going to talk about all that other stuff, but I decided it was a little dark this morning. So, but you know, the Hotel Dale, so that is super cool. So like you start seeing these little articles in, not in the, well, you see them a little in the Coffeeville paper, but you see them in like in the Iola Register and in the Abilene paper and in the Kansas City paper, and you read, and in the Neodache, you read a lot about Coffeeville getting this new modern hotel, and they were talking about how excited it was. The Chamber of Commerce was involved. These business people, they raised all this money, bought the lot. And then when I did my research, it was a Hotel Dale. So I thought that was super, super cool. It opened in November of 1924, but there was hype all through the 1923 newspapers.
Oh, I bet.
It had a coffee shop, and it had a dining room. It had balls. They had a sunflower ballroom.
Yeah.
So they would host balls and dances and dinners. And I can't imagine how many guests they had in there.
I kind of wonder if that ballroom's still around, you know? I don't know if they've turned it into more rooms or what.
I'm kind of curious on that myself.
Yeah.
If anyone knows, call James on OpenLine and tell him.
Yeah, let me know.
And we'll listen and we'll see. That will be awesome. Yeah, because I was kind of curious on that too. You know, Coffeeville, it was a thriving community, and they had theaters, they had many businesses, they had a lot of different newspapers. and quite a lot of different social clubs and organizations. They weigh pretty predominantly when you read old newspapers. And I saw that in 1923, they were looking to open a Kiwanis organization, to open a chapter here.
So I started thinking,
yeah, I was like, man, they've been here like 100 years.
So that's awesome.
Yes. And they're still going strong. I thought that was super cool. I could talk more about Coffeyville history, but you guys probably get bored. Upcoming events, like I said, the murder mystery dinner is sold out, but we've got fair and rodeo, and then we'll start getting into fall events like Dalton Defender Days. It is never too early to plan for Dalton Defender Days. And I'm not telling that to the people that are listening from Coffeyville. I'm telling that to the people who are listening from like McAllister or up there somewhere north of us. Make your plans now and come to Dalton Defender Days. Always the first Saturday in October, or first weekend in October. And then after that, we have Brewfest, and we have a lot going on.
Beginning into the fall activities, so.
Yes. I feel like I almost might be talking too early, but we're not.
I know. That's the thing. It's going to be here before you know it. Another thing, one more resource I know. I think it's Kansaspedia or something like that, but they have a lot of Kansas Memory. The website there has a lot of neat pictures and stuff, and even if you type in Coffeyville, it'll show you some neat street scenes. For instance, you can see 11th before we had all the houses, all the businesses on it.
What did you say that was called?
I think it's called Kansas Memory.
I want to. I have to see that because I can't picture how a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's kansasmemory.org, and then you can go and click on Montgomery County, and then it will show you. And then you can put in the search box. You can go ahead and search, and it'll pull up some pictures. Here we have. This is, obviously bringing in some different pictures across the county. But yeah, here's a picture of, this is obviously 8th Street. You can see the Dale Hotel in the background.
Oh,
you can
cool.
see the bank on the corner. So they've got a lot of street scenes and that sort of thing. It's interesting, 11th used to have a lot of really, really big old houses back before it kind of became the main drag, and trees and that sort of thing. So there's various intersections. Here's 11th Street. And they estimate there's actually trolley car tracks down the street.
Oh, yeah.
And
that is so cool. I can't wait to look at that.
Yeah, it's really, really neat. So I would encourage, go to kansasmemory.org, and there's a lot of really good stuff on there.
I am going to look at that. My my friend Jack, he tells me about when his family moved to Coffeyville from Liberty around 1941, that they moved into a house. It's where Scooters is now, where right there on 11th Street. And he said that... he said it was full of railroad tracks all along 11th Street. He said on either side. And then he said the college was there, but it was just one big building at the time.
Yeah, that's right. It was a big building there, right kind of where the theater and everything is now. The other thing is there is the Kansas Encyclopedia or something like that. It's a big volume set. The big research libraries have the actual set, but there's a lot of stuff in there about Kansas history that it has never made it to the internet. So there's a lot of really cool stuff.
Like to see those, because you know what I want to see. I'm glad you said there's pictures of 11th Street, because I always try to picture what Cousin Jack tells me, and I'd like to be able to see.
Yeah, go on and there and peruse.
But I want to see what Liberty used to look like.
I
know it moved from where it originally is.
Really?
I know it was big. I know they had a theater, and they had an ice cream store, and they had a lot of stuff going, doctor's office and different things like that. And I just have never seen any pictures.
Now you got me interested in that.
So I'm going to be on Kansas Memory, and I'll definitely be, after I look at Coffeyville, I definitely want to look at Liberty, because I'm just very, Liberty is very, very rich in history in itself. I do a lot of reading about Liberty history too, just because it's in the Montgomery County, and it's very, it's kind of a mystery, because like I said, I can't find old pictures. It's like Old Parker. I've never seen pictures of Old Parker either.
Okay. Yeah, well, let me know, because I took a class at K-State called Ghost Towns of Kansas. So I know about, we had to research a ghost town, for instance. So, I know a lot of tricks on how to do that.
That is very interesting. I like that. The only one I've ever done any research in has been Ingalls, Oklahoma. But that's because one of the Daltons had a famous shootout there, so...
That's really cool.
Bill Dalton and Bill Doolin, and it was a pretty famous shootout that was kind of before the big fight in Longview, Texas. But that's the only ghost town I've ever spent a whole lot of time learning about. But I want to, if I I will have any questions on research. And yeah, because I'd like to see Old Parker.
Yeah.
I've never seen
A whole research center at K-State that devoted to like lost or just like small communities in Kansas.
That is very cool.
It's really neat.
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And remind people to tune in next week.
Fry Bread Journeys.
Yes, Fry Bread Journeys. Yes. We have all kinds of cool stuff to talk about. And I think Chris has, we have a giveaway. She has a cool book she was going to give away, I think. I think she has announced the winner on the air. So I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, I know you guys do a lot of prep for it, so it's going to be a good one.
Yes. Well, mostly Chris. But yes, I'm going to do some this time too, because she does such a good job and puts so much into everything she does. But into our show, she is what makes it super awesome. So,
all right.
But well, thank you guys for letting me come in, and I always interrupt you. It's like
you're
talking
good,
to
you're
someone
good,
on the phone
good.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Amy Dollar, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you very much. Have a good week.
All right. We'll be back to Open Line here in moments on the Mighty 690 KGGF.